I, if you don't mind, do you think you can just do a little brief introduction to
Oh,
people?
yeah,
Yeah.
of course. So, my name is Kat Norton, and I started teaching Microsoft Excel on TikTok and Instagram around June of 2020. Before that, I was working at a consulting firm doing securitization reviews for banks. Not quite as
Wow.
fun. And I was doing Excel trainings there too on the side. And that was like the part that always lit me up was teaching Excel. So then I put it on social media around June 2020. And then within a few months, it ended up going viral. And I started selling courses. I quit my day job. And it's been just a whole whirlwind in the last year now. I've just having so
Yeah.
much fun with it.
How did it feel like to just to be able to quit your job? Was it like one of your like dreams to be able to quit?
Yeah. So basically, I was just really fueled throughout the whole time with like the
Sure.
passion of helping people. And
Yeah.
that was just lighting me up because at one point I was doing like 100-hour weeks. I was still working my day job and then
Yeah.
doing the
Oh,
social
right, on
media
top of things.
influencer type things.
Sure.
And then I was also, so crazy story. I'll just start babbling stories now.
Please do,
So
please do.
yeah, the story is actually pretty cool of how all this got started. So I put out my first Excel trick, I believe it was June 7th. And then by the fourth video I put out, so I was putting out one a day. And if anyone hasn't seen my videos before, I basically infuse Microsoft Excel tricks with as much like creativity and dance and fun as
Yes.
possible to make a traditionally boring subject to most, not to me, but to most, a more entertaining subject. So if you haven't seen the videos before, basically picture like freezing your Excel cells to Ice Ice Baby by Vanilla Ice or creating a drop-down menu to Drop It Like It's Hot by Snoop Dogg. I
Yeah.
just infuse these videos. I have the screen above my head. I dance the trending music and I basically teach these larger Excel concepts in like 15 seconds. So I start putting out these tricks. I had this vision. I was talking to my friend one day, and this is how it all really got started too. She was like, "You should put the Excel tricks on TikTok." And I was like, "Oh, TikTok? I'm 27. I'm not making a TikTok. It's like I can't do that. I have a corporate job."
Yeah.
And but I had this gut feeling like make the TikTok. And my brain was like, "You cannot make a TikTok." And
It's
my
like,
brain
oh,
and my
yeah.
gut were really at war for like 48 hours. I did not know what to do. My boyfriend was like, "What is wrong with you?" I was so angsty,
Yeah.
and I was like, "You know what? I'm just gonna try it." I had this vision of the Toosey Slide Drake song, like left foot up, right foot
Yeah,
slide to
you
the
gotta
left
follow
and the
the
right
TikTok God's
function.
calling. You gotta follow it.
Yeah,
Just gotta follow it.
I didn't even have a TikTok at the time, so I had no idea how to
Right.
use it. But I had this vision of the Excel screen above my head, so I'm like, "All right, just gonna put this video out." I didn't even like do my hair and makeup for the first one. I did like a test run to see if I even knew how to video edit it because I
Yeah.
had no idea how to video edit. Figured it out, was like, "Wait, this is actually pretty cool." Did myself up and then went and shot the first one.
Did you
And
do
I
it within the TikTok platform? Like,
So
you know, the
I did it
internal.
off of TikTok and
Oh, I
edited
see.
it off of TikTok. So I
Yeah,
didn't
yeah,
even
yeah.
know how to use any of those buttons. I watched like a YouTube video on WeVideo that looked like an easy editor. I'm like, "All right, I'll just learn
Yeah,
this."
yeah.
And I put the first video out. I didn't tell anybody I was doing it besides like my mom, my boyfriend. Like nobody knew. I was like, "I'm just gonna fly under the radar with this one, see what happens."
Sure.
And then by the fourth video, the fourth one I put out, it gets 100,000 views. And I was like, "Oh my goodness." It starts getting pushed to all these people I knew. And then by the sixth video, the CEO of an IT company reaches out and he was like, "Hey, I have contracts with a bunch of school districts in Massachusetts and I'm looking for someone to create G Suite training videos," which is now Google Workspace. So like Google Sheets, Google Classroom for students, parents, and teachers, because he had all these school district contracts. He's like, "Can I hire you as like a freelancer?" And at this point, I'm like, "All right." So I buy a green screen, a ring light. I'm shooting these out of my childhood bedroom in my parents' house, and I'm like cranking out these videos. I'm learning these topics on YouTube because I was a Microsoft gal. I wasn't as
Yeah.
much into the Google space. I'm learning all these courses. I'm shooting them with like teacher spins, creating my own creative spin on them, and selling them back to this company while still putting out the Miss Excel videos every day. So creating that content and then working my day job. So it was just kind of a
Wow.
whirlwind of a summer, the summer of 2020.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that sounds... I thought that was the point after you had quit your job. I was going to ask. But man, that must have been... Whoa.
It was a wild time. It was... But like, everyone was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you making all these videos? But like, my gut just knew. It was like... the way I described it to people, I was like, if you knew, if you did XYZ, you would get all, you know, the financial abundance and freedom and all the things you want. Would you do it? Or would you sit there? And my gut, I just knew with 100% certainty. My intuition got really clear. I meditate a lot. I'm super big on meditation. Okay. And I just got super clear. And I just knew this was going somewhere and just believed in myself and was like, I'm just going for this thing. So then by the first month, I had 100,000 followers on TikTok. And I was like, I don't even know what to do. I don't know how to do influencery things. Like, I've probably only gone live like 5 times in the last year because I still am like, what am I doing? And then everything was going on in the news at this point with TikTok. People are like, TikTok's going to go away, blah, blah. Like, you're doing all this for nothing. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to hedge my risk.
Oh, yeah. There was this whole thing about the drama about Trump like banning TikTok and everything in the US, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah, it was wild. So I was like, all right, I'll hedge my risk. I'm just going to make an Instagram. And I thought some people would come over from TikTok, but really only like 2,000 did. So I started off with like a relatively small, again, Instagram account. And then next thing you know, Reels came out, the Instagram Reels, which are kind of like TikToks.
Yeah.
So I started using some of that TikTok content. And thank God I shot it all off the app so it didn't have like the watermarks and everything. And I started putting that out on Instagram, and then that went viral. And next thing you knew, I grew like 50,000 people in a week. And then I did that a few times, and that's how it got up to like close to 200 now. And so at that point, I'm like cranking out content on both platforms. And now like October, November rolls around, and The Morning Brew had reached out, this online newsletter. And they were like, hey, you know, like think about partnership. And at the same time, a business coach reached out to me, and he was like, listen, you best have a product you're selling before you be in The Morning Brew and like get publicity. Like, you need to have a product. And I was like, oh, touche. Like, maybe I should create a course. So
what's Morning Brew? Sorry if I don't.
It's an online newsletter. It's kind of like, if you've ever heard of the Skim before, it's kind of like a business synopsis of the news for that day, but it's written in like a funny, fun way for millennials, Gen Z, like easy to understand. It's really cool. And I had been a fan of theirs for years. So I was like, all right, got to have a product ready. So I create this, my first Excel course. And I was like, all right, if I make a course, it obviously has to be on brand. It has to be fun. It can't be, you know, a boring course. So I take like a week off from my day job. I map out this entire course. And if you've ever worked with a business coach before, the first thing they tell you is you have to start selling the course before it's done, which is incredibly anxiety-inducing method, might I add. And so like for me, because I never like made something and sold it before to begin with.
Yeah, it's like asking people for money. So it's like, oh my gosh, now I'm like getting money for this kind of thing.
Yes. And that's kind of what puts the fire under you to actually get her done.
Yeah, yeah.
So at this point, I'm like, all right, so I map out this course. I like create a Thinkific site and I just line everything up, the payment platform, and it starts selling. And I was like, oh my gosh, like people are actually buying this. And then I finish out the course by December. And by then a bunch of passive income starts rolling in. I'm like, wow, like this is actually, I'm making more per month now than I do with the day job. So at that point I was like, all right, like something's going on here, you know? So then by January I got promoted at my day job and I was like, oh gosh, because it was a manager role. It was probably like 30 more hours a week, a learning curve. I was like, I really kind of have to make some moves here, you know?
Yeah.
So I decide at that point, I was speaking to another one of my coaches, Ashley Hanwacker, she's awesome. And she was like, what are you doing over there, that day job? And we like mapped out my whole business and the numbers. She was like, you need to quit. And we're going to set a deadline for you to quit by. And I was like, oh, you know, but I needed that at the time, you know, because like you get kind of caught up in like the day-to-day stuff where you're like, you have all like my baby boomer parents being like, what are you gonna do about health insurance, 401k, benefits, like all the things.
Yeah, the know? Mom stuff, the mom.
Yeah,
dad stuff.
And honestly, like, I didn't have an answer to that. I was like, I don't know how much insurance is gonna be. I don't know like what I would do about that. But like my gut is telling me this is going to be a huge business and I need to like do this thing, you know? So I end up quitting my job the end of January. And then by then, everything really started picking up. I built out another course, started doing like webinar launches. I was featured in Business Insider. Like everything just kind of started snowballing from there. Yeah. And now, yeah, here we are. I got the Microsoft MVP award recently too, which was super cool.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It was because I always wanted to work with Microsoft a bit more on this. And I still remember it was like August, right when I made the Instagram account, they slid into my DMs. And I was like, it brought me back to like high school when like a boy would text me and I'd like throw my phone because I'd be like, I can't look. You know, it was like, I just see Microsoft. It was like 7 a.m. I'm half asleep. I look at my phone. I just see a message from Microsoft from the
blue
account.
Check mark,
like,
just to make sure that it's not somebody just like... somebody named Microsoft or something.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh. But they were so nice and supportive. They were like, we're huge fans. We watch you every morning. I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
So at that point, yeah, it was just like really cool and full circle to have them, you know, bring me on as one of their, like, I have meetings with them now and get to talk with the product teams and the engineers and give them feedback. Wow. And it's been just a really like cool to see from the inside too. So that happened like last week. So everything's been just moving along.
Yeah.
I'm having the time of my life over here dancing on the talk. Let me tell you.
That's awesome. And also knowing that, because I just found out that you are based in Hawaii at the moment, right?
Yes.
So do you like find yourself having to travel or needing to go to places, or does this all happen remotely at your house?
Yeah, so everything has been remote. My boyfriend and I had this dream of doing this digital nomad lifestyle. Yes. We both had been, so my day job before this, I would fly every week to a new city, to a new client. So I'd get up at like 3:30 a.m., go to JFK, hop on a flight, go to, you know, Oklahoma, California, Texas, every week, meet a new client, do a job, write a report, spin it back. And I'd been doing that for 3 years. At the consulting firm. Yeah, your facial right now, that's how it started to feel inside, my girl.
Sorry,
like, I was really, like, it was getting to that level. And then everything stopped with the pandemic. But I essentially had been living at home because I'm like, all right, it doesn't make sense to pay rent if I'm gone every week, you know? And I was only home on the weekends. So we had been just home saving money. I had a ton of student debt. And then the pandemic hit and we stopped traveling for work. And I started building this business. And I was like, okay, we don't have rent. We don't have a mortgage. We don't have kids. We were like, why don't we just be digital nomads and just travel to different places every month and essentially live on vacation and like work while we're there. But then we, for example, we always play into the time zone differences. Like we'll stay on New York hours when we're on the West Coast. We spent a lot of time in Sedona and we would just stop working every day by like 2-3 o'clock and then just go live.
Chill.
So I kind of had this fear. I was just like, I don't want to wake up when I'm like 65 and be like, all right, I'm ready to retire. Now I'm like tired and I didn't do anything. Like, I just want to like live my life now while I have time, money, energy, like three currencies, and just do it now while I'm young. You know, I was like, I don't want to wait that long.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That is like the dream, isn't it? So so what about Hawaii? Is this like a temporary thing then?
Yes. Temporary thing. Everything I do is digital. So all my like trainings and stuff too, they're all virtual when I do them for different companies as well. I'd say core sales is like 95% of my income right now, but I do like one-off, company trainings too. And those are all virtual. So we did Sedona, California, and then we just did Hawaii for the last 2 months. And then we actually leave this weekend, going to Washington for a week to like Trout Lake with some of my friends. And then we're going back to New York for a month, and then probably Greece, Costa Rica, a little North Carolina, and then Sedona again for Q4, and a little San Diego too.
I wouldn't be surprised if you have visited like pretty much every single country in this world by the time you reach your retirement or something. That's amazing. Yeah,
that's the goal. That's the goal. I love traveling. That was something that I've always just like really valued and like loved to do. So now to just be able to do it freely, because I loved it for my jobs. Like I'd get all these free trips every week to different states and places and the hotel points and the flight points and everything was free. So like at that point, that's how I was kind of getting the travel itch out. And now it's like we got actually get to like live in these places for a month and really like feel what it's like, because eventually we do want to settle down somewhere. We're thinking Sedona right now, because that's been just a like incubator over there of energy. Like things happen very quickly there with the energy vortexes and whatnot.
I am so shit with geography and like maps and shit. I'm assuming Spain. Sedona.
Oh, it's Arizona.
Arizona. Okay. Okay. Sorry. Because I was going to ask you like, oh, visas and stuff. But never mind.
Yeah. It's Arizona. It's the Red Rocks.
Okay. Gotcha. How do you figure out like accommodation if you're like moving every month?
Oh, it's a lot of Airbnb fun I take on.
I see.
A lot of it too, we do last minute. So it's great when I like open up the Airbnb app and it's like 2% of properties are available.
Oh, yeah. The last minute sales. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, always the best. But yeah, I usually do, I think it's VRBO, Vrbo, and Airbnb. And I switch back and forth. And sometimes I go directly to like the property management companies too. Like in Sedona, we know some of the companies and we work with them directly. But yeah, it's been just instead of paying rent, we just stay in people's houses, essentially. I'm in like a condo right now in Hawaii.
This is so fascinating. So digital, I would love to know more about the digital nomad life because I have traveled quite a fair bit myself, but it has always been kind of like in a bulk of years. So it has never been like a monthly schedule. So how does like stuff work? You know, like your stuff.
Yeah. Like, I'm taking up the minimalist life over here. Like I had a lot of just clothes and stuff at my parents' house. And we essentially, it was funny too, because we went straight from Sedona to Hawaii and I started off with like winter Sedona clothes, which was like sweats and like hiking gear. And then we were going straight, cause we decided not to go home in between. So we were going straight to Hawaii, which is like bathing suits. So what we did for that was we essentially just like went to FedEx and shipped home all our winter clothes, and then I bought all like Hawaii clothes, because I used to like doing that too when I'd like go on a vacation. I'd buy myself like my travel collection of like my outfits for the trip. So I essentially just kind of did that. But now it's been like 2 months of me wearing the same dang clothes. Like your girl's really over it here. I'm ready to like throw my clothes out again.
Oh, so they're like pretty much worn out to a point where you just kind of like, okay, they're done. Their lifetime has
finished. Because we did 2 months in Hawaii. So it's been, I did Big Island for a month and now we're doing Waikiki for a month. And it's been just, I wear the same things. So I'm excited to go home and like see all my clothes again, you know, switch things up a bit. It'll be a good transition.
It's the clothes for me as well. Like I'm not a big like fashion person. I'm not like, oh, I go shopping every single day or anything. I mean, like this shirt that I'm wearing, I've been wearing this for like 5 years or something. But it's just like, it's a big part of our lives, you know, like we like, as girls, we like to decorate ourselves and we like to just switch things up. And also like you as an influencer as well, like you shooting loads of videos and loads of content, putting out loads of content out there. It's like, it feels a bit icky when you're like wearing the same things and like across like 60 videos or whatever.
I have like, if you actually look at my videos, I have the same like 5 shirts on.
And it just looks like, I know we're, you know, taking care of ourselves, taking care of our hygiene, but it just looks like, you know, I have the same thing as well, where it's like, oh, like I wore this like in the last video, and I swear there is a time difference between all that, but it looks like I literally haven't washed in the last like 7 days or something.
Feel that.
Oh my gosh, that's the dream life. Like just being able to travel. Because I'm assuming, just I know like traveling for free is fun and all, but traveling for business, like you did in your previous job, isn't the same thing as like traveling for the sake of just going there.
because I was working all day. So, like, I would get out, you know, at, like, 6 o'clock and, like, go to team dinner. But also, like, having my boyfriend with me, too, has been, like, cause I missed him all the time, you know. So, like, being able to experience these different things together. And he actually quit his corporate job, too, right around when I did. So then he became completely free, too, because it got to the point where he worked at Enterprise and they were going to make him start going back to the office. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, gosh, we have to go move back to our parents' houses. Like, this will not be very fun. Because at this point, we don't want to buy a house in New York. So it was like getting a little, but he had a really cool opportunity come through to work with Gerard Adams. He's an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't care where Mike lives or what we do. So it's been just total freedom for both of us, which has been really, really conducive to this lifestyle.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Just having, because it's one thing for a couple to like, for one person to be free from, you know, locations and stuff, but another to have like both of you guys have the same lifestyle so you can share all this together, because, you know, what's the point of it if only one of you can move around and the other is just like, you know, has to be settled in one place. Yeah,
it makes all the difference. And all just kind of, we quit within like months of each other. So everyone was up in arms like, you're both quitting your corporate jobs to be entrepreneurs. And I was like, yes, team, we are. We're just going for this thing.
And you can afford it. You're doing much better as well. That's great. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy for you guys. This is awesome.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun. I've been truly like happy for the first time.
Yeah.
Like really just like so happy. And we wake up every day and we're just like doing what we want for once without any limitations, you know?
Oh my God. It just makes me so happy when I hear people like you just talk about how passionate you are about your stuff and your job. It's amazing because like I personally have been going through a bit of a slump myself, and it's just kind of motivating just to hear people being in their element and just enjoying every single minute of their work and their job. That doesn't really feel like work, I'm assuming, right?
Like the biggest thing for me, like figuring this out too, because obviously like my job is not a job description that I could have applied for. And I went through like a whole process really just trying to figure out like what lights me up. Cause I kind of just followed the path at first. Like it was like, go to college, go to the business school, graduate, go do a consulting job, like ride the course, like ride the ladder, you know? And it got to the point where I was like, whoa, I don't think I'm that happy. Like, I love the company I work for. I love the people I worked with, and I love the travel. So that was fun. But my actual day-to-day doing, like, risk and compliance consulting, I was like, this is not, you know. And yeah, it's like it wasn't an outlet for my creativity, too, which, like, I realized I was a very creative person. It had just been stifled because I had nowhere to really put it. So it really was a game changer for me. Like I sat down because I had a lot of friends like applying for other jobs. And I was like, honestly, like if I ever did something, it would be nothing like what I'm doing right now. But I honestly don't even know what that job would be. So I was like one of the only people that was never applying to other jobs, never interviewing for 4 years. Because I was like, I know it's, I can't tell you what it is, but it's very different. And then one day I wrote down a piece of paper, went through this whole like manifestation process, wrote down, I was like, what are the things that light me up? And I was like, all right, I like helping people. I like Excel. I like to dance. I like, you know, like, and it all just kind of formulated into what I do now on a day-to-day basis where I couldn't have even imagined this as a thing. Like, I still think back and I'm like, how did I even come up with this? And the name and everything, it just like, it was like divine intervention. Like all of a sudden I just like kind of knew what to do and just kept following the steps that my intuition was telling me and just really, and it got me here. But it was something I could have never really thought up, you know? Like, it was never something I could apply to. I just kind of, like, took a step back and was like, this is my life. I spend so much of my time working. Like, what am I doing? You know, what actually lights me up? Because then I realized once I'm doing what lights me up, that kind of, like, magnetizes everything in my direction. Yeah. So my whole business has been inbound leads. So I've done no advertising. I've never reached out for press. I've never reached out to businesses. Like everything has just kind of flowed to me at the right time. Like I had so many people be like, how'd you get in Business Insider? Like what PR firm did you use? What'd you do with this? And like, I was like, I wrote down a piece of paper and then I meditated on it. And then they reached out. And it's like, that's just kind of what's guided my whole business too, which kind of keeps it fun. Cause like everything that comes through, like nothing will come through that my nervous system can't handle. So at times it does feel like a lot's coming through at once, like when like press things hit, but it's really like, it's all been fun, you know, yeah. Just like seeing what comes through. I open my inbox every day. I'm like, what's in here? Like an opportunity like this, I was like, this sounds like a great time, you know? And yeah. It's, I couldn't have never thought of this, but then it, like it appears, you know, and I just know it's the right fit.
I think that's the thing with like, you know, all these like tutorials and like, oh, how to get 100,000 subscribers on TikTok, how to grow in a day in a TikTok, like all these like tutorials and how to stuff that's out there. I feel like that almost like it almost sets a limit to it, almost kind of undermines the importance of following your intuition sometimes, because it's like people think that it's like, oh, there's a way to go about things, but when in reality nobody knows what the fuck they're doing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
No, it's so easy to want to believe that there is a way, and if you follow that way, that somebody more seemingly successful than you are is telling you to do, then you're gonna be as successful as them, which yeah. is not definitely the case. I think you just gotta follow your intuition, I guess.
100%. It's literally all energetics. And I try to tell this to people because I work obviously in like a business realm with a lot of business people.
Yeah.
And everyone's asking me my quantitative metrics and my 5-year plans and my goals and my this. And I'm like, I literally just play in the quantum field. I study energetics on the side. I make sure my energy is on point and I'm aligned before I show up on social media. That comes through the phone, translates into sales, following viral videos. Like it's all, I went through so much inner work. Like that I still consider my business. I know it started technically in June, but like in March, April, I just went down a rabbit hole of inner work, inner child work, shadow work, like essentially reprogramming all these subconscious beliefs that I had that were holding me back. Cause I grew up with like a severe anxiety disorder. I had public speaking problem. I was super shy and people look at me now and they're like, what? Because I know it like looks like I did a 180, which I mean I did. Like I had all of these limiting beliefs kind of going through my head, so I actively like went through those, reprogrammed those, meditated a lot. I do a lot of like Kundalini yoga. I did Lacey Phillips has a program like about manifestation. I did that program, just a more structured way to kind of back into like what was going on, because essentially everyone's just running on autopilot. Your subconscious mind is making the majority of your decisions that you're doing. And so like going in and actually like cleaning up that autopilot, I got to this point where I was like, wow, I could literally do anything I want to with my life. Like I tell this to people because I just think it's hilarious at this point. In April, I didn't create Miss Excel till June. It wasn't even a thought in my mind in April. I was still grinding it out the day job. I turned to my mother and I was like, Mom, I'm going to be rich and famous soon, so I need you to prepare your nervous system for that. And she was dying laughing. And I was like, watch. And I literally didn't even have Miss Excel as a thought in my mind. I aligned myself with that higher version of myself. I knew I was going to create something huge, like financially abundant and just help a ton of people. And I knew like I just wasn't going to stop till I get there, right? So there's zero risk if you're just taking a bet on yourself and you believe in yourself. I was like, there's zero risk in quitting my job because I know I just won't stop till I get there. If it's just on you, there's no risk, you know?
Right.
So I essentially just like align myself with that. But I feel like that's the piece that so many people miss, and they kind of just look for, okay, like what's the textbook version of what I need to do to grow my following, do this, do that. Like I meditate and get visions of what videos will go viral, and then I go to my computer and I make them. And then those are the ones that blow up. It's like just really so many people just kind of skip that part of tapping into their intuition as their creative source. And just are trying to do things textbook ways and they don't translate as well. So that's something eventually I want to get into business coaching, because that's something I'm super passionate about, with like 50% spiritual, but 50% business and strategy, kind of like how I grew mine essentially.
Yeah.
So I have people reaching out like, what'd you do? What program did you do? Who'd you work with? You know, all these things. But the biggest part, if you don't believe in yourself and you don't think your business is going to blow up, you're just putting out this limiting belief and your business will not blow up. You know?
Yeah. That 50% spiritual, 50% business, that's like a mix that I personally have never, like, have ever, like, imagined existing. I think it's a fascinating concept, and I do believe in the importance of the inner work, and personally not doing a good job at, to be honest with you. and I think, you know, I can tell, like, from our conversation that I've had with you in the last 30 minutes that you've got that positive energy. You know, obviously, it's one thing to, like, just, you know, like, put on a mask and, like, just try to pretend that one is happy. But I can definitely, like, feel through the screen that you are genuinely a passionate person and a very, very bubbly and very, like, very happy from the inside rather than just putting up a facade. And I really look up to that. You know, I think there's this thing about, like, musicians and artists being, like, just really, like, sad all the time. And I hate that. And I'm like that, yeah, too. And I hate it. It's like, I don't want to be like that. And I feel like there's definitely that element of, like, that chain reaction. Once that one negative or positive thought starts, the rest is a chain reaction. Oh, yeah. And I think that's the thing about overthinking. You can overthink about really cool stuff, really happy stuff, but you can also overthink that, as a lot of most people do, overthink about a lot of negative stuff. And that tends to just not do any good, obviously. I do want to ask you about meditation, because it's something that I've always wanted to, like, get more into, but couldn't really grasp the concept of. I know that, you know, the spiritual teachers who mainly focus on, like, meditation, they always try to simplify things. It's not about the method. It's about just observing your mind. It's just being there and just focusing on the present. That, I know, is kind of the core purpose of meditation. But how? You know, I think that's always been the kind of challenge for me. So I would love to know about how your meditation process goes, and, you know, how your inner workings,
yeah,
kind of work out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think this is, I was in the same boat with meditation at first. Like, I remember being like, am I supposed to, like, blank out my mind right now? Like, my mind is racing. How am I supposed to just sit here and think about nothing? Like, what's that going to do for me? You know, like, I kind of had this connotation about it. And then I started, for me, like, I'm a very, like, logical brain thinker too. Mm-hmm. And I, especially in the, like, realm of law of attraction, manifestation and all that, I needed some, like, logic. Like, I sit there, I'm not gonna be like, Ferrari, where's my Ferrari? I manifested it, you know, like, yeah, for that. Like, I was like, I need a little bit of logic here. So I went down a rabbit hole with this thing. And there is a doctor, Dr. Joe Dispenza, who does a ton of work in this space. And he essentially demystifies the mystical and puts it into science for you to actually, like, see. Like, he does, like, wild experiments and all these cool studies on the brain. His backstory, essentially, he had gotten into this wild car accident. I think he was, like, biking or jogging, and he got hit by a car.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got a book from him. Like, I didn't finish it because it was a thick book.
Is it Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I have a guide of it in my own words that I will send you, because I am so passionate about getting people through that book, and it is so dense. And I, like, literally wrote an outline in my own words, like, basically this means you'll feel like Beyonce. Like, I have, like, it in, like, funny, yeah, terms. I'm going to send this to you after, because, like, that's awesome that you've been looking, yeah, in sex. That book, like, I read the first 100 pages maybe, and it changed my life from when I read it, because I just needed to understand, like, a little bit of, like, quantum physics and, like, what actually was going down with, like, energy and all of that to, yeah, get my logical mind around, okay, you are actually creating your reality right now. And, like, these negative thoughts are attracting more negative things into my, yeah, life. And, like, actually have that science to be like, okay, like, thinking positive, one, is going to make me feel better, but two, is actually going to implicate, like, what I'm calling in. And a big part of it too, which I learned through, like, the Lacey Phillip program, she gets into a lot of, like, self-worth stuff, which, this is kind of how I describe that. It was like, if you sit there going, Ferrari, Ferrari, where's my Ferrari? if your self-worth doesn't think you deserve that Ferrari, you are not getting the Ferrari. So it's really getting your self-worth up to this place where it's equal to what you're calling in. And that was the piece I was really missing. So I went in and essentially, like, quick backstory on the stuff you may have seen in the Joe Dispenza work too with this, but age 0 to 7, we don't have our critical thinking skills fully developed yet. So things are just simply more dramatic when we're younger. Like, you know, if your parent yells at you, like, because they're having a bad day and spilled their coffee, you're not sitting there like, oh, you know what? Mom spilled her coffee today. It's not my fault. You're going to take that in. It's like, oh my gosh, I like dropped my toy and this is terrible.
Yeah.
You know? So these things create these subconscious patterns, and obviously nobody's perfect. Sometimes it's even you seeing other people, things happen, and essentially it creates these limiting conditions in your brain. So an example I like to give, when I was in kindergarten, I wrote in my yearbook that I wanted to be a rock star. Mm-hmm. And I had a toy microphone in the first grade, and I was singing in front of my parents. And I forget if it was my mom or my dad. I think it was my mom. She was just like, Kathleen, you're great at a lot of things, but you cannot sing. And I mean, valid, mom. Your girl cannot sing. But little me took that as you don't deserve to be on the stage. So then what happens is essentially you will attract in what will reaffirm that thought for you into your reality. So I was thinking, you don't deserve to be on the stage. So what group of friends do I call in middle school? The drama cadets. So they're all on the stage, and I'm literally the only friend in the friend group who is not on the stage. Further reaffirming, like, they're on the stage, I'm not. Then it manifests into a public speaking disorder. By high school, I can't give a presentation. I have an anxiety disorder. I won't even have a birthday party because I don't want the attention on me. Yeah. And it kind of just goes, I become very shy. I'm more awkward. Like, I just, like, don't want any attention on me. And that, a lot of that is attached to that event and that belief I created about myself that continued to create that reality. So I did these meditations through the Lacey Phillips program. That's essentially, it's like a guided meditation. It's like 20 minutes. You go in and she takes you to a place through like binaural noises that bring your subconscious mind forward. And that's where you essentially just show your subconscious that there could have been another way. And it kind of neutralizes that memory for you. So it's no longer, and it takes time. It's like this whole inner child work thing where you go through all these different, it's almost like hypnotizing yourself and therapy combined.
Yeah.
Like it's really, it was so therapeutic for me to go through. And essentially after that, I was like, okay, like clean slate. Like I can really do anything. What do I want to do? And I just really like also for people getting into the influencer space, highly, highly recommend doing some kind of inner child, inner work, unless you're just like born magnetic as hell and don't care what anybody thinks about you ever. But like for me, if I didn't do that, one, I would have never posted myself dancing on the internet. But two, like the amount of negative comments and things that you get, like my nervous system can just like wipe those right off. Like they don't even hit me, where like old me, that would have destroyed me. So it's really like critical, I feel, if you're getting into the influencer space, to really like have your nervous system prepared for that and like be in that space. And then also, so my trifecta, I call this my like trifecta of things that I did in the meditation realm. I read that Joe Dispenza book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. Mm-hmm. So my logical brain was on board. Then I did the Lacey Phillips like inner child shadow work, kind of like smoothed over because my childhood was a little rogue.
Right.
And then I do Kundalini yoga, which I really love because essentially I have trouble sometimes just like going off into la la land. I'm better at it now, but like for me to just sit and be quiet was pretty hard. Like my brain would still be going. I'm pretty type A. And Kundalini incorporates mantra and movement together. So you're essentially doing certain mantras, certain movements, and they all have different purposes and things that they do essentially in your brain and with your body. Like if you've ever, a lot of people know Breath of Fire. Sometimes they do that at the end of a yoga class. And it's this like stomach pumping thing that's essentially like refreshing your organs. It's almost like a workout for the inside of your body too and your mind. But doing those together, if I'm saying mantra and I'm doing a movement, essentially it takes me off to la la land because I'm not thinking all my conscious thoughts and it brings my subconscious forward. And that also works on the back end of some of the childhood things and different patterns. Like there's like an addiction meditation that you do where like it helps you break addictive thoughts. So there's all different meditations for different things. But with it, there's so many different modalities too. Like people, like everyone just like can find one that kind of like fits for them. Like I know a lot of friends do like transcendental meditations or like different, like there's a million different types. Sometimes for people, just like walking their dog is meditative for them because they go into autopilot and they just, you know, kind of like go off. So really, like for different people, different things work. But for me, I've like loved Kundalini yoga combined with Joe Dispenza, combined with the inner work. I feel like I did that hardcore for like 2 months before I launched the business. And that just really helped get me to a place where I was finally like comfortable in my own skin and able to like speak up. Cause I was always like really shy, you know? That was really like propelled me out of that. Because there's all these multiple realities going on around us at all times. There's all different timelines, multiple realities. And like, I was literally just like on a different timeline before this. I was, you know, like my boyfriend and I, we were going to like buy a house on Long Island, get engaged, have a kid in the next like year. Like it was all just like moving like in that direction. And that was like what was modeled for us as success. Like, because we were just looking at like baby boomer generation above us, like this is what you do. You move up in your job, you go, you buy the house, you do this. Like it was very like cookie cutter. And all of a sudden we just kind of like woke up with the start of the pandemic and we're like, wait, like this is not what we have to do. Like if we don't want to, like we can just go and do some things first, you know. Eventually we're going to settle down, get engaged, do all the things, but right now we're like, we can just go travel and live and experience different things and like run our own business and be completely free and financially free and just do things. Like there's no reason why we can't, like there's no reason why it can't be us. And just like really coming to terms with that, because the only thing that limits us in life is ourselves. I see so many people that just like stand in their own way. And my, like, one of my passions in life is, like, pushing people in the pool. I feel like I have so many friends just, like, stand on the edge of the pool. And they're like, ooh, I could jump in the pool. I quit my job, build this business, do this, do that. But they're like, oh, what will this person think? What will that think? And I'm like, get in the pool. Yeah. Like, that's, like, my job. I've done this with, like, 10 of my friends. I've had so many of them, like, quit their day jobs now and, like, follow their passion, start their business. Because I vision hold for them. And I'm like, I see you. I see your skills. I see your strengths. I see your passion. Like, this aligns with you. These are limiting beliefs holding you down. Let's like pluck them out one by one, clear this up, and just get you where you're trying to go and like live this fulfilled life, you know? That's something I'm so passionate about.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy how your own perception of life can be so deceiving until you are pushed to a point where it kind of almost like slaps you in the face, kind of like the pandemic did for you guys, where the reality is not reality. The reality that we thought were realities aren't realities. It's just in our own minds, and we can reset it anytime we want. I think that's the thing with people where up until they're really at the edge of things and like you have to make a choice. You either fall down the pool, like you mentioned, or you stay on the surface. I don't want this conversation to take a dark turn or anything, but for some people, I feel like that edge is like a life and death thing. You know, you're at a point where you're so miserable that you want to like quit everything, just want to not do anything. Or you can try to do something and make something out of it. And the thing about that is like there's that another layer where you, I don't know what I'm saying, but there's that another, I'm trying to explain something that is really hard to explain it in words because it's all happening in my mind. But there's another layer where you've almost kind of got this like fog over your eyes where you, that deceit, that self-deceit is like still there over everything. So you might as well just want to quit everything. I feel like that's the thing where, like you did with your friends, until somebody comes up or there's like a wake-up call from an external source, you're just all in your head. And I feel like I kind of still wait for that to happen to me where I don't think I can get out of this alone until like somebody or something so dramatic happens to me to a point where, okay, oh God, I got to figure something out of this, you know? And I feel like I'm at this like meh position where like it's a little lukewarm. And you know what they say about like depression? They're like, you have to really think whether you feel comfort in feeling depressed. That's the thing, apparently, where people are like, oh, I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to have depression. But when you really dig into it, people actually find comfort in being depressed because that's, they kind of identify their identity with it. And it's like ego death. If you give up depression, you're, it's essentially like dying for you because you identify with your ego so much. I'm getting very much into like mindfulness and stuff recently. Yes. I've been reading a lot about, I'm recently reading a book called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle.
Amazing book.
Yeah, it's, I'm enjoying it a lot. I find some of the concepts really difficult to process. But as the books tells you, it's not about turning it into a logic and trying to figure out what the logistics are, but rather really kind of being there and let your mind do the thing and let your intuition do the thing. And I find that really difficult for me. It's just like I'm kind of the same with you in that I'm a very logical thinker. If something doesn't make sense in my head, then that's woo woo stuff. I don't believe it. So yeah, I'm trying to like remind myself of the importance of intuition, but it's just really difficult, you know.
A lot of it's frequency too. And like people like will have comfort in the darker thoughts because they're used to existing at that frequency. So everything's vibrating, everything's at a frequency. And literally our emotions are frequency. So like zero hertz is death, right? And then like darker, like depressed thoughts, they're all like lower frequency. And then like love frequency is way higher. Like, and then it goes up to, you know, being like ecstatic. And there's like an entire like wave of frequency. So sometimes what I do, this is a trick to kind of like raise my frequency, a couple little things. Because then once you start doing them, you kind of just start like going up the ladder. Because you can't expect to go from like having, I have like dark days too. I'm like, all right, this is a dark dang day. Like, especially Hawaii. Hawaii, actually, the energy here, it's a feminine energy vortex. So it's much more like shadowy here, which we were not expecting upon arrival. So like I've done like actually a lot of shadow work here because it really like the frequency of the place is like this from the negative of the feminine energy vortexes are like typically downward spiraling and more shadowy stuff. But a trick that I do, one, this sounds wild, but like smiling. Smiling will automatically raise your frequency like 5 hertz. And then also just I will sit there and be like, what will make me happy right now? Like, is it like, do I go get a piece of chocolate? Do I go get a coffee? Do I go for a walk? Do I go like look up this? Do I call this person? I'm like, what will make me happy now? Like right now. And just a little win, you know, like it doesn't have to be like, I have to, you know, go to the moon. Like it's literally just find like a little something and that will raise your frequency up a little bit. And then it kind of just all starts flowing from there. It's really just like shifting the track and like getting onto a higher frequency with these things. Cause I have been there. Like I have been when like I'm having dark days and I like will watch, like I have negative vortex myself, like all of a sudden negative things will happen one after another. It's like you spill your coffee, it's like always those stories, and then it's raining and you forgot your umbrella, and like, you know, I watch it happen to people all the time too. And then I watch like the other times, like Sedona, for example, like why we want to live there right now. A big part of it is it's an upward energy vortex, most of it. There's the most vortexes in the world, I believe, in Sedona. So like we call it like the incubator. We go there and like I had like 3 years worth of life happen to me in like 3 months in terms of everything that moved with my business. A lot of people go there to physically launch their businesses because things just like flow in alignment and happen more freely because of the actual like energy there. So we were almost like addicted to it. We were there for months and we were like, okay, like, and then we came here and it was definitely a much more shadowy, slower energy here. Like trying to run a business when everyone else is on vacation, you know, just like the frequency, it was just like a very different atmosphere in Hawaii versus in Sedona. So even just environmentally placing yourself somewhere where like even like we will just like go for a few days and like lay in the red rocks and just like it's a higher frequency.
How do you feel the frequency or detect or, you know, these vortexes or the frequencies? How do, is there like a thermometer of a sort, or is it like a...
people have actually measured them before with devices and things. Like, there's just known energy vortexes on the planet. Like, Joshua Tree is another one of them. Tulum is a downward feminine one, so a lot more shadowy work. I believe Costa Rica is one. I know here in Hawaii is one. Like, you can, like, Google where they are on the planet. And they've been, like, scientifically vetted out. But for me, so Sedona actually has some upward ones and downward ones. And more recently, the more, like, tapped in I get into this stuff, like, one of them, Bell Rock, is one of my favorite ones. It's an upward one. Like, I'll literally go there and, like, a wild email will come through, like, a crazy offer or something. Like, it's just, like, things start happening to you. You start getting the viral. My first viral video was in Sedona. Like, that was the first time it happened to me where I was like, whoa. I got up. I remember it was, like, 6 a.m. And all of a sudden, I opened my eyes and I'm like, I have to make this video. And I run downstairs. My boyfriend's like, what are you doing? I'm like, this is it. And I just put it out. And the next thing you know, like, every time I refresh my phone, it was like 10 new followers, 10 new followers. Like, every second I was going like this and they were just pouring through. And I was like, whoa. But it's really just like tapping into that. But we realized that about Sedona. And I honestly, like, sometimes depending on like my frequency and my energy, I can feel it actually sometimes in certain vortexes. Like, it almost feels like if you're like drunk and have the spins on a super subtle level. On Bell Rock for me, when I lay there, it happened like in the most like Q1 when we were out there. Like, I would literally lay there and I just felt like it just kind of like feels different energetically. Like, your body picks up on a lot of these things. Yeah. So like out there, but that's been something for us that's been like huge for launching our businesses and whatnot. Like, things just start happening quickly. Like, I thought it was just us at first, and then I brought out some of our friends and both of them started new businesses and like are on the verge of quitting their jobs, and it's just like all happens so quickly for them. Like, my one friend, she's so cool, her name's Michaela, she wanted to start doing like real estate and Airbnbs. Mm-hmm. And she literally like came to us like, we were like, let's find a side hustle for you. Let's find something that lights you up. And she was like, guys, I decided I want to get into this. The next day, we're at Kundalini yoga class with one of our favorite instructors. And she was like, yeah, like, I have this friend who's killing it in the Airbnb business. Like, just out of nowhere, starts telling us this. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, she has like 8 different properties. And we all look at Michaela. We're like, oh, like, you should talk to her. Talks to her the next day. Talks to a mortgage broker. Talks to a real estate agent. She just closed on a house. Literally 3 months later.
Nice.
She spent her time there. She just got into the stuff, read the Joe Dispenza book, started doing all the same things and got like super into it over the last few months. And then literally the perfect house that she was looking for appeared. Broker calls her, was just like, hey, like, this is your house. It was everything she was looking for at the exact price she wanted to pay. Like, and these are like the kinds of examples that still remind me. I'm just like, whoa, how powerful this stuff is when you actually like tap into it and learn about it and are open to it. It's like cool examples.
So I used to be really into like the stuff like law of attraction and things like that. For me personally, what I found very challenging about the whole concept was it was always the logical brain in me. So I was like, I found myself getting caught up in all these like rules that they put out, like. It was like there was a point where they were like, oh, you have to sprinkle magical like powder onto everything before you do it so that you sprinkle the positive energy. So you eat your soup, you have to sprinkle your imaginary like positive energy to it. And it's like they had like crazy like 128 like rules like those. Like, you have to say things 3 times before you do anything. You have to like – there were like so many protocols. And
interesting.
It was very interesting indeed. And I think I got to a point where I just got way deep into it, to a point where I got so hung up on these rules that it was starting to like stress me out instead of like making me happy and feel fulfilled, which was the reason why I got into all that in the first place. I just wanted to be happy. I just wanted to be at a better place, you know? And I think that's the reason why I kind of moved away from it, because it was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm doing this right. There were so many things I needed to do. And I think that's the thing with like, with all these things, it's the purpose of this, the purpose of meditation, the purpose of manifesting, all these things are there as a tool for you to be happier, to be, to feel more fulfilled in life. When things like when in my case, I was like doing the opposite. I was letting all these tools to stress me out instead of getting me to a better place. So I think that was kind of the case for me. And I guess I got back into that whole negative chain reaction pattern, but I'm working on it, you know, I'm working on it.
It's really finding what works for you. Like, that sounds so stressful to me too. Like, there's so many different like modalities of this stuff. There's so many different theories and there's so many different like ways. It's really just like finding one that like works for you and like integrates like nicely into your life. Cause a lot of people too, like, think they have to take like 100 steps, you know, like sometimes it's just like little tiny shifts. We're like, what will light me up in this moment? Or like filling your day only with things that light you up and really like listening to yourself. Like, when I get people asking me all the time for different meetings, collaborations, this, that. And I'm like, I literally stop and I'm like, does this make me feel good or bad? Like, does this light me up or not? Am I doing this out of obligation? Or am I doing this because I genuinely want to? And even just that little step of taking things that align with what light me up creates the magnetism that makes the correct things come through.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's just little things. And like that directly corresponds to being happy, right? Because you don't want to be spending your time doing things that you're like resenting agreeing to. And you're like, oh, like, I don't actually want to do this, you know, like really like choosing actions even in your day that like align with what you want. And then more things of what you want come through because you're operating in a frequency of this happiness and things you want. And that's what you'll attract. You know, but the rules are like, because everyone has different rules, you know? So it's really just finding what works for you too. Like, once you start calling things in, like, then you're like, okay, like, wait, I'm in the groove now. This works.
It was the same thing as the tutorials. Like, they were like, it's like, oh, there's a way to do things. And if I'm not following these rules, then I'm not going to be happy. But I'm stressing myself out by doing these things. Like, I don't want to sprinkle shit on my my cereal. Like, I don't want to do it. I think you're completely right. It's about finding what works for you. And if it's not working for you, then there's no point in it because it's not making you happy.
You'll be more magnetic just doing what makes you happy at that point. Like if that modality, you know what I mean? Like, I really just focus on like little wins throughout the day that light me up, and then they just grow and grow and grow. And then you just start like calling things in with your mind, and then you're like, okay, this is actually pretty cool. For me though, like getting through that Joe Dispenza book like helped a lot, because my conscious mind at first was like, the heck is this, you know? And then I started going through it and was like, okay, so then my brain understood what was going down, and then I was like, all right, you know, let me try this, let me try that. And then I kind of found things that like worked for me to just essentially, it's every day just trying to get my vibration up. Just like staying in a place of like, I think about things I'm grateful for all the time. And that will instantly, like, I'm like, wow, like what's going good, versus like focusing on like, all right, what's shitty, you know, like really getting through and figuring out like what you want to spend your attention on. Cause your attention and your energy is so valuable. Like what you're putting your focus on throughout your day is so valuable. Like your expertise, your zone of genius, your time, like valuing that for yourself, you know, and spending it doing not only what lights you up, but like what you're doing to like create an impact too, you know, like when you're in your zone of genius, you are creating the largest impact.
So, and it's so crazy how many people prioritize work and all these like obligations over their own happiness and their mental health. It's crazy. I think, you know, it's a systematic thing where school, college, application for jobs, work, and it's like their day-to-day life is so packed with stuff to do that they're like, oh my gosh, I'm having such a shit day at work, I have so much work to do, so I'll just put off taking care of my mental health, taking care of my happiness, and prioritizing my joy when I'm finished with this work. But this work never finishes until you take initiative, right?
100%. You got to put yourself first. That was one of the first things I learned, where I like wasn't used to doing that. Like, I was just like grinding it out with my job, and I was like giving it all my attention. But like, even just doing little things for yourself and like treating yourself like you are the most important person, and preparing your home for yourself and doing things for yourself, it just sets such a tone, you know, for like yourself and the life and your value and how you value yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself, it's like, what are you showing yourself? You know,
it's your life after all. It's your life. Yeah,
like there's only so much your like boss cares about, you know, like it's really like you're the one going home to your life every day. And I just like I see people just like slaving away for the money to like have the same 3 weeks off that everybody else has and then just like go on a nicer vacation or like have a nicer house. And you're just like doing all of this work for that.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I got like I was like, whoa, like I don't want to just live for the weekends. I don't want to just live for my vacation. Like I want to live every day. You know?
And, you know, that's the thing, though, is that some people actually do enjoy it. And in that case, fine. But
yeah.
If you're feeling miserable doing what everybody else is doing, then that's a sign that something is wrong. It's not going right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, some people love their jobs. Yeah. And if you, like, wake up and it lights you up and you feel fulfilled and you're, like, having the impact you want, like, then I'm like, okay, like, jackpot. Hell yeah. But, like, for a lot of people I know, they just kind of followed the
dragging
matrix. And
they're
through, all right, this is what we do now. And then they're all kind of, like, waking up and they're like, oh, gosh. Like, is this what I want? You know?
Yeah. Well, Kat, this is amazing. On a lighter note, what are your plans for the rest of the day?
Ooh, so it's 2:00 here now. Uh-huh. So probably gonna go to the gym and then go to the beach for sunset. We like to do that.
Very nice.
Just like,
oh my gosh, yeah. Super jelly. That's awesome.
It's good for grounding. Yeah, make some dinner. We only have a few more days here in Hawaii, so probably just hang out. Some of our best friends moved here, so it's been really nice like having them around the corner because we haven't seen them in a while. So we've been like hanging out every day. My friend's like basically a personal trainer, so she takes me to the gym. So your girl does not know what she's
doing.
Sweet. Yeah. She like shows me how to do all the things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Free personal training program. That's awesome.
Yeah, right. I was like, this is fantastic.
I mean, I always like end the episode with like, I'd love to meet you in real life when I visit LA or New York, but it seems like I wouldn't know the next time I'm gonna be visiting if you're gonna be around. So hopefully,
our paths will cross.
Yeah,
we'll just put it out there.
Yeah, our paths will cross for sure. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day, Kat. It's been so nice talking to you.
Thank you.
This has been so fun. No, me too. Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
You too.
Bye-bye.